These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking
about these droids?
I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking. And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike, and we're happy to have Ryan back. Ryan, are you force projecting yourself into this podcast like we mentioned that you would from the subway last week? We hope that you've actually honed that skill and can use your powers of the Force to get you here no matter what location you're currently residing at.
I attempted to. I was floating on the subway, and then a men's rights activist yelled at me saying that I was ruining the saga. I didn't care what he said, but I got distracted. And then I remembered that Luke, you know, he perished after attempting this same trick, and I thought, I want to see episode 9. So I stopped. Although I know I listened, it was seen as a failure on my part. Won't happen again. I will perish for this podcast if need
Thank
be.
You.
Episode
Thank
9
you.
Or not.
Wow.
That's where
Ryan,
I'm at. That's my
Ryan,
commitment
how,
level.
How is your panic level currently for episode 9? Are
Good
you
yeah.
have the sweats started yet?
Well, the sweat I live in New York and it's the summer, so the sweats are unceasing.
The sweats started about 2 months ago.
And the sweats will stay until clear into October. So it's hard for me to differentiate. We'll be able to do a critical analysis of this in the fall when the variables are gone. But I'd say probably of the sweat bucket, I'd say about 15% is due to episode 9. The rest, straight humidity.
That's pretty good.
Thanks, man.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm working with a mental health team. I'm really I'm making some changes. Hey.
Did you bump up at all when you found out that episode 9 had begun filming? Was that from like 15 to 16% because you knew that the process had begun for this new film to come out?
Yeah, sometimes it's like out of sight, out of mind a little bit. Yeah. And then when I saw the Instagram, I made this noise. So yeah, of course. Now I know it's out there. Episode 9 exists. Up until now, it was just a fantasy.
Well,
you know, a corporate fantasy that I knew would exist, but... Now they're really doing it. There's things for me to know now.
A week ago when we posted our last pod, that was the day that J.J. Abrams released the Instagram of production beginning his first shot. It clearly was the Falcon with Finn wearing some sort of vest. Was it, Sam?
I'm locked in on that vest very seriously. Yeah, it's a khaki or tan affair, but very much in the same pocket arrangement and scenario that our dearly departed friend Han Solo wore. It looks like there might be, we don't see a face, but I'm thinking that's Rey at the helm right next to him. Everybody's looking good. Everybody's looking so good. Good tailoring all around.
And that fuzzy out of focus background from the camera.
Yeah. Yeah,
what will
right.
it take for Chewbacca to get to fly with a co-pilot?
He just can't do it. Legally, he's not allowed in the Star Wars universe to fly.
Could you imagine if that's what they revealed? If they spent a half hour going into the litigations of the space DMV?
Well, I hope he has some kind of epic, like Indiana Jones type reveal that he's actually terrified to fly.
Well, I think they're doing a prequel trilogy that's set between episodes 6 and 7, which they've been threatening for some time, and I do think it's going to be mostly set, among the office politics of a DMV.
They were gonna but who knows after the performance of Solo, you know?
Yeah.
Would you all agree that the secondary job for Dex from the diner is in DMV?
Yep. Yes, I was immediately going to bring up that it's uncle and he has a ragtime group of boys that run the DMV or some kind of auto body shop. Yeah. It's going to be like a reality show. Let's check back in on Dex and the boys.
He's definitely burning it at both ends. That guy. He's just making ends meet. I mean, Coruscant is not cheap. We all live in New York City. You know, we know, but that doesn't compare
Do
at all
Coruscant,
to the Galactic Center.
Is it still around?
I don't know.
No. They blew it up?
I mean, they said the Republic. I'm assuming that they set up shop on Coruscant again, but that might not be true when they reformed the Republic after the fall of the Empire.
Well, right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that, that Coruscant was had become an Empire stronghold.
Mm.
That's true, so maybe it was considered like a lost state.
But they pulled down that statue in special edition Return of the Jedi. That could mean nothing. Just mean that's just faulty platform.
No, didn't we move it from Philly?
That's true.
What's the United States? Yeah. Who remembers? You know, somewhere there's a little Padawan in middle school who's got to memorize all this.
It is crazy. We haven't gone back to any of those places.
No,
what,
it's all been new.
Places from the original trilogy.
Yeah,
I
was thinking that the other day. Cause like
I think they should in the new one. I'd love to see a Naboo.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I still have to think about the names of the new planets. Maybe that's on me.
Well, Chris, I can help you with that because if you just make the new planets all your passwords to the computer devices you have.
Oh, smart. Oh, all right, listeners.
We can't
write in
all of the planets, Chris, 123 exclamation point.
Listen, listeners. If you think that's a good idea, write in and I'll do it. CJS5. I'm just kidding.
I do think I'd love to see them tie it in episode 9. Go to some older locales.
I mean, I'm thinking of one place in particular that has a certain Jedi's hut.
You want to see a Dagobah?
I want to see Tatooine.
Oh.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that is actually
you
very
wanna, after
Jakku, that's hilarious.
You really want to see Tatooine?
Yeah. I remember leading up to 7, I had this insane theory that Jakku was a defrosted Hoth. And I was like committed to that.
That
Chris,
is insane.
Chris told me that. Chris like but guaranteed it.
Because I thought it was going to be like a political message to like global war.
I don't know. I think, you know, we may actually have our best shot of a returning locale in episode 9. Who's on Bespin?
Oh, yeah. I could see.
Yeah. That is true, actually.
And
that'd be great.
Apparently Bespin is above wherever Rebels takes place.
Wait, Bespin is above Lothal?
I believe so.
I feel like they would have. I mean, Lando makes an appearance in Rebels, and I don't recall them saying that Bespin was just up there in the clouds.
But isn't that where he gets the gas and stuff, though?
I don't recall.
I usually get the gas from lunch.
Whoa.
Hey now.
Chris is citing a barely remembered half read fact. Like I'm almost certain it has as good a chance of being true as not, because it's just something he thought of.
Again, Chris, this is where I serve the hot and fresh.
Oh no,
listeners, I would actually like you to write in if we could get a solid vote on like whether or not people like Chris using the phrase hot and fresh, and I really hope they don't. I want it to stop.
Droidspot@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of Chris's hot and fresh.
If you don't like it, I'll never say it again.
Please.
Chris, let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
please. Of the locales, as the only unmarried person on the pod, which locale would you rather see, Bespin or Tatooine?
Tatooine.
Was it Chris really yes anded me there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I did. You gave me a gift.
Chris likes the sand. It gets everywhere.
I hate the sand. It gets everywhere.
Ryan,
was that your way of letting
our listeners know that we have a newly married member of the pod in Sam?
Hey, I'm finally a mister.
Hey, look at that.
Sorry, listeners who are interested. Sam is taken, baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you'll have to just leave your fantasies about this voice in the past.
Well, you can no longer be a Jedi, Sam. I apologize.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
That's why I'm holding up.
Chris, you still got your...
See? Yeah, I have a nice life there on Tatooine. It worked out for everyone that was born there.
Would you rather? This is a real question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
Hell yeah, you opened with Would You Rather. I'm bound to take it seriously.
Yep.
Would you rather live a life of solitude knowing that you could come back as a force ghost? Or would you rather have the option of, you know, living a life of companionship, but when you die, that's it?
Oh, wow.
Companionship.
Force ghost.
Dead companionship. Dead.
I'm undecided. Or,
yeah, I gotta go.
Oh man, it seemed like it was gonna just break right along the marriage lines, and then
pretty good. Yeah,
Ryan really threw a curveball there.
Yeah. Wow. So maybe we'll get back to Tatooine.
Maybe I'll see you there, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Well, in the continuation
novels.
There
was the other bit of news regarding Episode 9 that we talked briefly about last week. And, Ryan, you were not able to be a part of this conversation, so we'll let you jump in here.
This was so my jam.
George Lucas is apparently, now this is a rumor, nothing official, there was no announcement from StarWars.com, has been consulted for Episode 9. Now, what would that mean? Could it be J.J. just being like, hey, take a look at this. Oh, sure, we didn't actually take your feedback into account. Or did he collaborate and come up with a fitting conclusion to what has been, for the majority of it, George Lucas's story, and have the creator be able to have a factor and have his touch on the end of the series?
There are a few angles to this. One is cynical and one is not. I choose to believe the non-cynical one, but I'll present the cynical one for fun.
If this movie were Solo, you would give us the cynical version.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. You caught me, Mike.
Whoa.
Sorry, everybody. I'm not taking suggestions right now. But so the cynical, well, if this is true, the cynical version is that in order to appease this very loud, complainy and whiny group of fans who didn't like Episode 8, they're bringing George in as a presentation of good faith that they're honoring, you know, whatever came before it. That's kind of the cynical way. The optimistic view that I kind of have, and I hope that he is involved, is that this has been George's world, his creation since the beginning, and they know that this is the end of the Skywalker saga, and that they wanted to bring him in to bookend it nicely, you know, to have him involved and to kind of guide it. I read that and I actually got emotional about it because I think that would be amazing. And I think that, like, him being a consultant, I understand that people don't like his writing very much, whatever. He doesn't write dialogue very well. Okay. But him being a consultant is like a great place for George Lucas to be, which is just saying, listen, like, this is what I had in mind. This is the world that I was creating. This is the direction I was going, and him giving his two cents. I think that could be really, really exciting. I think that, like the bringing back the old worlds from the old movies, it would be a nice way to kind of tie everything together and give it a thread that runs through the whole thing. I think that would be really nice. So whether it's true or not, you know, he was involved even very briefly in Solo, even if he was just there for a few days or talked about the script.
He pick up that jacket.
he became Han Solo for that scene. You know, he really became him. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously open to it. He's around, you know, and they're obviously not opposed to having him come in. So I think it'd be great.
I think it'd be amazing if he had some kind of like uber secret that like only the directors of the series knew. Like there's some like rule that is still hidden that George Lucas like still held and said like you can make these movies, but somewhere in some Disney contract is like George holds the ultimate key, and this is the like the super surprise fact, so that JJ Ryan and JJ, yes, I named JJ twice.
Same like, JJ. Listen,
the same.
It's not a different
same day. Exact JJ.
I think
as well.
The secret is that the Wills were like supposed to be in Osmosis Jones right? sort of scenario.
Yeah.
So it was, JJ Abrams, Ryan Johnson, and J. Jonah Jameson. These three are together.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
George.
But I think that would be really cool that if they still had to rely on that one fact. I don't know.
I think it's
cool.
There's
he's
like
involved,
a nurse present in case someone faints from like the revelation of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, I actually though, Ryan, I mean, the way you phrased it, and when you said like, oh, I think it'd be cool if he's on set to sort of say like, this is where I was going with it, this is what I would do, or something like that. To me, at this point, feels like that's not what I want him there to do, because I'm one of the people who's been enjoying, and I mean, I know we all are on the pod, but like,
yeah.
You know,
as
one of the people who's really been enjoying the Disney direction of things, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want, you know, and I have the utmost respect for George Lucas, but like, I don't want him sort of brought in to suddenly quote unquote course correct or like say what he would do or should be done. I think what would be great in as far as like a consulting role is like, you know, JJ's writing a story, or, you know, whoever's writing it, you know, is writing the story to follow on episodes 7 and 8. And George is there to say like, oh yeah, if you're going to have this type of scene, you know, I really think within the world, you know, this is maybe how it would go down, or this is what might happen. And they can incorporate some of that as the guy, you know, from whose brain this all initially came.
Chris, you've talked about in the past, and I don't know the specific phrasing of it, but what is it, mm-hmm. the mirroring of the Star Wars films, or the circular nature of them? What is it?
Yeah, it's like the cycle, the ring cycle kind of thing.
There's been some theories of how the new trilogy could implement that and include that, and I don't think it's been reflected yet in the first two films.
Sure.
And maybe George's hand could bring some of that back in the last movie. That would be, to me, the only thing that might make it be, I mean, not the only thing. He could obviously bring a lot to it, but I feel
right.
like it would just be appreciated to see him tie that all together.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they tie it, I think they'd have their work cut out for them. It's taken kind of a departure, I think, from what we've seen before, and maybe not. I'm sure there's some YouTube video that can tie it, that could associate certain images to other things to be like, look, it actually is closer than you remember. Like,
it's going to end with a partially built Starkiller base.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we might just be fooling ourselves. We might just be
Lando
served.
Lando borrows the Falcon.
Yeah, exactly.
Flies into the middle of it.
Yeah, we might just be served a leftover. But I think
What's the co-pilot in that scene? Nine Nub? Is that his
Nine
name?
Nine Nub, yeah.
All right, so ten
He's
Nub.
He's back in.
Yeah. 10 yeah. Nub is next to him. 9 yeah, Nub's son.
Like, hey, I knew your dad. yeah. I think that, like, aside from, like, having all the kind of, like, I won't delude him by calling them cameos, but just, like, having the older, the legacy cast enter, I think that if you could tie it back in some, like, super substantial way, like, find whatever throughput through all of them that we hadn't seen before and like that is there. If you could find that and kind of highlight that by the end, that would be exciting to me.
Hmm. I also think that there's George Lucas. Again, I love the prequels, as we know. And we've talked about this idea of being weird with Star Wars. I think George Lucas brings a lot of that to it.
Yeah.
You know, like he has this very strange sensibility that, like, you know, made the movies what they are, for better or worse, whatever people think of them. But I think it'd be interesting to see that DNA kind of spliced into this new trilogy. You know, they came into this and very much with The Force Awakens as a matter of course correction after the prequels. It was a lot of, you know, that whole thing about, like, we built real sets, like, grounded, it's lived in. And that's cool, and I like that. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, we're three movies in. The Last Jedi took a lot of risks that I loved, you know, and I would love to see them, like, really lean into that weirdness, you know, whether it's, you know, that we're introducing new things about the Force. I'd love to see them push that even more, you know. Yep. And I think that Lucas, you know, brings that sensibility to it.
But
you know?
I didn't see that weirdness. Like, I don't see that weirdness in the prequel so much as I do in the original trilogy.
Well, there too. I think it's present in the prequels, but
what would be a good example of the weirdness in the prequels that you see, Ryan?
I mean, just the way that the Force is used. And I know that, like, the execution was a problem for a lot of people, but it, you know, like, he leans into things like force jumps, you know, like people can jump really high. Like, I know that that's not like that weird a thing, but
yeah.
And even the creatures, you know, like Obi-Wan riding a giant lizard.
I was thinking of this the other day too. In like medieval times,
the restaurant.
We all have the same idea.
So I love eating at medieval times. I'm just having a casual Tuesday at medieval times. Hey, you going to M Times tonight? Yeah, see you there. Half off apps. It's kind of the Applebee's of New York
City. Use the promo code DroidBot and you'll get half off.
Yeah, tell them that you're rooting for the Blue Knight.
Yeah,
and that you're there for the droid heads.
Isn't it all? It's all for a queen now.
Yeah,
they've replaced the king with a queen medieval times recently.
Way to go!
Named
way
Daenerys. To go!
Thank you. I was thinking. I said I'm always thinking this. I'm not, and I just thought of it right now. But in medieval times,
I still am unclear. Which are we talking about? The time period or the restaurant?
I don't know anymore. I'm
You're
so sorry.
Talking about
I'm so
the time period.
Wait, time period. Sam says I'm talking about time period. About the time. They would
when
mix.
You're in New Jersey.
When you're in New, so you're in New Jersey. Nope, that's the restaurant. They would mix. They would mix religion and science a lot. Like, so this idea that everyone's very upset about in the prequels that oh no, the Force is based on these like things called midichlorians. I see now as kind of a means of they put so much like faith. They're like Jedi scientists. It's kind of this idea that's like the old Republic, the old guard. They lived in this castle. They were doing their own science. They were so in their own like bubble that's what they thought. They were like they were going so far in their mysticism that they had to explain it, that they figured it out. Like they were getting closer to godliness. So that way, I think now when you see it.
So Qui-Gon's like one of those idiots who would be like leeching people or something.
Yeah, right, exactly, exactly. Right. Yeah, because like they just didn't know how the Force works. And
I have a headache. Why don't we just like make a little cut in your head?
Yeah, exactly.
I got my Let all the sword. Demons out.
Right. And
we're
so,
going to go in through the nose.
Right. And so that's why I mentioned that I was excited by the fact that Yoda found out something new about the Force, and we found that out as well. So I think that like the further we get away from that, it's kind of like the less they realize they know what it is, and now we're like learning with them. So that really interests me. And if it turns out they're a bunch of little like little tiny cartoon people, I just want to see. That's the weirdness I want to see.
I
would love. Here's the thing: you were saying this, and I'll say what you said about an idea I just had. I'm always thinking. That if, you know, we've been talking about like what we'd want to see in episode 9 privately, we should probably talk about it on the pod. And here we go. stop wasting good material on our text chain. But, if there's not an element of episode 9, like a huge plot point that they're taking force sensitive people that like the new First Order led by Kylo Ren is taking force-sensitive people, hooking them up to a machine that is powered by midichlorians.
Sure.
I'll be disappointed if that's not in there. That's the kind of weird that I'm looking for.
Okay.
Now, okay. I'm, all right, I'm Chris. Also, as just as another
you
person
agree
who's...
with the guest, but you can't get my back?
No, I said okay. Like, I'm with you here.
As another person who's just always thinking, the wheels are always turning, I got to tell you what my idea is, which is that I think... We got to start a franchise of restaurants, Star Wars times, where we have Jedis and Sith.
Jedi
and you
times.
Vote and you root for one or the other.
Oh,
and you,
oh man. My God. Sam, you know, sometimes
you serve little lizards out of jars.
Sometimes when you start talking, Sam, I'm like, oh boy, here it comes. But that one really that turned one. Out nice.
Man, Sam, what a compliment. Thank you.
Sam, it's called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and it opens up in May of 2019.
Oh, yeah.
As long as they have that, I'm sold.
Yeah.
We're going
but
to Galaxy's
I will
Edge.
Be requesting a refund.
Guys, I'm never thinking. The wheels are never turning. And
but why don't you hit us with an idea, Mike?
I wanted to bring up something. This is aside from the point, but just speaking of George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
For all the success that he had, why do you feel like he stopped making movies? Not just after the prequels. I mean, I feel... that he kind of took a step back, and I know he had family, that he wanted to focus on his family, but it seems like for someone who really could just make as many movies as he wanted, whatever the reception was, And I know that there was the bad reception of the prequels. I just feel like I'm surprised that he didn't keep making more movies.
I think it's because making a movie takes a lot of time and effort and energy. And when people keep telling you they're bad, it just gets like, it just bums you out.
I mean, that's... But I'm with you, Mike, because when he said that he was like selling off Star Wars to go make like the movies he always wanted to make, like these experimental movies, how he always wanted to do that, I was stoked. I want to see like the movies that George Lucas wants to make. And also, he could self-finance them the way Francis Ford Coppola has done for his movies, except without all the bankruptcy.
He's not beholden to anybody.
I mean, I think I part of me is like, is it like the rush of like making a Star Wars film? There's so many aspects. There's so many things, which I'm sure is exhausting. But it's like when you're making a film on that level and then you try to do something else, like I wonder if it pushes the same buttons. Like I would hope it does, but maybe in his case, like it might be hard.
I mean, it was also Star Wars was his, was it his second feature or is THX third. Considered a feature? So it's his third feature. Yeah. You know, it was his third feature and it's the biggest movie of all time that spawned the biggest franchise of all time. And like, you know, nothing, you know, when you're that young and that early in your career, you have that level of success. You know, unless you replicate it immediately and in a totally different direction, I think it gets really hard.
You mean Indiana Jones?
Well, wait. I feel like he's benefiting.
Right.
Yeah, but he's benefiting from the collaboration with Spielberg, who is the guy who Spielberg also incredibly young has, you know, a game changer of a movie with Jaws.
Right.
But then he has a series of game changer movies.
Yeah, like and, he's,
you know, I don't know.
He's never stopped.
Yeah, and so you know, I don't know if it's the idea of like because Lucas got so locked into this one franchise early, I wonder if it sapped some of his other, you know, some of his other creativity or like I don't know.
Side theory, the movies like the Star Wars movies he made right through Lucasfilm were relatively independent, or the prequels rather, were like independently fine. So let's say Lucas had a pretty on track career from A New Hope to The Last Crusade, right? Like he had we could consider him like a working director producer, there's always stories how he wanted to be more of a producer. I think when he self-financed those prequels, those weren't cheap. Those are expensive movies, and he no longer wanted to work with the studio system anymore. So I think that's like if he wants to make another movie, he's like has to get money to make these behemoth movies.
He's got $4 billion.
Now he does. Well, he gave it all to schools, didn't he?
Did he? Well, I mean,
he gave it all to charity, so he just has the other $4 billion.
He had $4 billion. He had enough money to make the movies he wants.
There's also the possibility.
If you have a bankroll, go on.
There's also the possibility, and I don't want to speak for George, you know, my Uncle George, but he said when he sold off the Lucasfilm, the Disney, he wanted to do these things. It's also possible, you know, there's a guy who's in his 70s. He started making Star Wars when he was in 1977 and has made only that, as a director and a writer since then. And it's possible that, you know, he's been living this life as George Lucas for this long. And he realized that he really might not have much that he needs to say anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that he has opinions and feelings, but as an artist, he might not feel that like fire that he thought he would, you know, to be like, oh, I need to like say this or make this statement. Cause I think like, even though, you know, he made populist entertainment, George Lucas, like, it, you know, if you listen to him speak, he's an artist, you know, like he had all these like very, philosophical thoughts about what Star Wars was and how it could function. And I think even to him, every single Star Wars movie was kind of an experiment in its own way, which is really interesting since they were the biggest movies ever. But he might just not have that like in him, you know, he might not have the desire at this point.
Ryan, I think there's a myriad of reasons why, and all, I mean, legitimate reasons why he wouldn't do it. I just think it was so curious because as you brought up, Chris, Steven Spielberg kept working, kept doing all these films, mm-hmm. and obviously he had more variety from the beginning. But I just was so curious what you all thought about why he didn't make more and why he isn't even doing it now. But you're right, there could be a point where it's just stepping back and not needing to do all and fulfill that itch anymore.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't have it anymore.
It's a bummer, though, because I hope he directs another movie.
Yeah.
I really want to see what it would look like, what it would be. We'll see.
Yeah.
Straight to
LucasCast.
Maybe he'll direct Indy 5.
That would be wild.
That would be wild. They should give this kid a Star Wars movie.
I think Spielberg has the script argument now. And George has that. I heard
he cares more. Spielberg cares more about the script.
Yeah, I heard that they have a little debate going where whoever cares more, and Lucas won the last one, so I think that might give a little leeway to the next one.
To the beard.
They both have
beards. Which beards?
The Beardy Boys.
All right. Well, guys, I think since there's not a lot of major news this week, we're getting close to wrapping this pod up. But I do. Has anyone been.
This episode, right? Not the pod.
Yeah, well, this episode.
Wait, wow. Nobody wants to talk more about the pocket situation on that vest or the tailoring?
Oh, I did see that Han Solo's jacket just went up for auction. From Force Awakens.
No, it was the Empire one that went for like $1.5 million or something.
Okay, I had incorrect information.
Thank God Mike's here.
There you go.
I like how Mike tried to wrap it up and we just found another tangent.
Oh, so we don't even need to end this pod. I was just checking if you guys had been catching up on Clone Wars anymore.
Oh. I have not.
I have delved into a franchise of Star Wars passes of late. And I would like to bring it up. I said I wouldn't do it.
I think you should, but I will real quickly say that I've started watching a little bit of Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And just briefly, I appreciate early on seeing things like Domino Squad. I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm really enjoying this. And then they flip to, let's talk about the version of a planet that is essentially Switzerland staying out of a conflict, and let's talk about the Trade Federation. And I'm like, all right, back and forth. Let's get into more of maybe end of the first season, I believe, where they focus more on the stories of Obi-Wan and Anakin and Ahsoka and less on parliamentary procedure.
Am I the only one that's interested in the trade laws?
I think so.
Right.
That's just world building, baby.
Wow.
No, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm very excited to watch the rest. But all right, Ryan,
I'm excited to start my run.
You've been indulging in another form, as you just said, of the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, just briefly. So I jumped into a little game called Knights of the Old Republic. I had never experienced it early on. People remember it very fondly. People say things like, oh, Knights of the Old Republic 2. This is a real thing I've heard people say. The Knights of the Old Republic 2 specifically is the best piece of Star Wars story ever made.
Whoa.
Now, that seems hyperbolic to me.
Yeah.
But everyone's entitled to their opinion. What I could say is this. I've been playing KOTOR viewing it from the time period. What I can say is this. If you played it in 2003, I believe is when it came out, maybe 2002, and you haven't revisited, don't. Just don't do it.
Oh, no.
Here's why.
I was so anxious for this buildup.
No, it was very revolutionary at the time. The mechanics of the game are very dated. And the same way that like we all remember, you know, like Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker a certain way, like keep it that way. You know, just let it exist that way in your head. It's special for that. I'm going to work my way through it. It is difficult to play for mechanical reasons, although the story is compelling so far. I'm going, you know, the light side track because I'm a nice little boy. but it is very compelling, and it's interesting as a piece of Star Wars kind of history to see, it was kind of after a lull in like what Star Wars was, and it came out, you know, I think a few years after The Phantom Menace, and people kind of saw it as this like redemption of a Star Wars story, kind of because it quote unquote returned to the roots of Star Wars. You know, I have my feelings about that, but I will be checking in from time to time, and sure. I'm probably about 3 to 4 hours in, so you know that's not very deep on a 40 to 50 right. hour game.
Okay, I was gonna ask how long it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it's huge. So you know, I'm not saying anything definitive, but what I can say is, like, you know, it's a 15-year-old game, and it feels like it. So you know, if you're thinking about revisiting KOTOR because you loved it so much, maybe just let it. You know, let that affair exist in your brain.
Wow.
Guys, wow. I think we have an opportunity for a lot more segments now on the pod. We're going to have a KOTOR check-in. I think we're going to need to start the jacket portion that Sam has talked about for so long, but not actually made a part of the pod yet.
I would maybe we can do a little brief segment in each episode where I just find I'll just focus on one jacket.
Find a jacket.
I'll just do a little,
do a deep
research. Maybe I'll do some drawings. Maybe I'll find some costume sketches out. Guys,
find out.
Believe me, I like it.
Maybe we should get the droids a library set of The Making of Star Wars or the Star Wars prop book. Those things. There's a set. There's one for every film.
Mm-hmm, Chris, we should get you say the droids should have a library set.
I just want you to split the cost of 8 books with me.
Also, don't you already have those books?
I got 2 of them.
I actually think we've stumbled onto something here. Sam, you should pitch to Lucasfilm and Disney the jackets of Star Wars, a book, and detail all the jackets.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Traveling exhibit. Traveling exhibit.
Ooh, the exhibit. I like that, too.
Yeah.
Sam, you should call Lucasfilm.
Call Kathy.
Yeah, let me. Sorry. Hold on. She and I have a different conversation going on our text chain right now. But I'll talk to her this week.
Sam, your phone is a blank screen. I'm sitting right next to you. That's really strange.
Sam, she was at the wedding, wasn't she?
She had to.
She gave a beautiful speech.
Oh, you were there.
Yeah. It was all about balancing corporate needs with artistic vision. It was
amazing. That's great.
Chris, I'm going to ask.
We all took a drink of our Coke.
Chris, I'm going to ask what segment you're going to do, because the segment I'm going to do each week now from now on is a Galaxy's Edge update, and I'm not joking about that one. I just want to do a Galaxy's Edge update all the time.
That's great.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve you up hot and fresh.
No, I shouldn't have done this.
Episode 9 theory. And these aren't just theories. These are hot and fresh theories. So I'm going to be thinking of them while you guys are yapping away and I'm not paying attention.
We have Sam's jacket closet. We have my digging into the archives, whether it's video games or something else. Video games, comic books I didn't read, anything. Mike's doing Galaxy Edge. Chris is doing Episode 9 theories. So listen. Listeners, you're listening to the sausage get made.
There it is.
Other podcasts might come up with these ideas off the air. Mm-hmm. Not the droids you're looking for. We want you to see everything, baby.
Other podcasts might take the time and effort to cut something like this out.
But not us, baby.
Not us.
Not us.
You're hearing it all because we want you to know us.
On that note, thank you for joining us for this behind-the-scenes look at the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We will catch you next week and begin implementing these segments in the show. Look forward to it.
Oh my God, it'll be so embarrassing when we don't.
This has been the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
So where you guys want to go get dinner?
Annie? I go down to medieval times.